We were very careful, and the speech is accurate in what it says about Bin Ashib. Redacted statement that Abu Zubaydah provided information on Bin Ashib's recent activities that helped CIA track him was not supported by the cable cited in the CIA's validation document or any other CIA record. Redacted's email did not address the other representation in the president's speech that Abu Zubaydah identified Ramzi Bin Ashib. The New York Times article also challenged the representation in the speech that Abu Zubaydah disclosed that KSM was the mastermind behind the 9/11 attacks and used the alias Mukhtar, and that this was a vital piece of the puzzle that helped our intelligence community pursue KSM. As the New York Times article noted, the 9/11 Commission had pointed to a cable from August 2001 that identified KSM as Mukhtar. In her email, Redacted acknowledged the August 2001 report identifying KSM as Mukhtar and provided additional information on the drafting of the speech. On August 28, 2001, in fact, CIA's Redacted database does show a report from a source stating that Mohammed Rahim's brother, Zadran, told him that KSM was now being called Mukhtar. Moreover, we were suspicious that KSM might have been behind 9/11 as early as September 12, 2001, and we had some reporting indicating he was the mastermind. We explained this latter fact to the White House, although the August 28th report escaped our notice. In her email, Redacted stated that the fact that the 9/11 Commission with 20/20 hindsight thinks we should have known this in August 2001 does not alter the fact that we didn't. In addition to the New York Times article, the CIA was concerned about an article by Ron Susskind in Time magazine that also challenged the assertions in the speech about the capture of Ramzi Bin Ashib and KSM. In a September 11, 2006 email, the chief of the Redacted Department in CTC, Redacted, wrote, "We are not claiming Abu Zubaydah provided exact locational information, merely that he provided us with information that helped in our targeting efforts." Redacted's email did not address the representations in the president's speech that Abu Zubaydah identified Ramzi Bin Ashib and that the information from Abu Zubaydah helped lead to the capture of Bin Ashib. With regard to the capture of KSM, Redacted's email acknowledged that Susskind's assertion that the key was a cooperative source was correct as far as it goes, but the priority with which we pursued KSM changed once AZ conclusively identified him as the mastermind of 9/11. Redacted's email did not address the representation in the president's speech that Abu Zubaydah, along with Ramzi Bin Ashib, helped in the planning and execution of the operation that captured Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Redacted's statements about the capture of Ramzi Bin Ashib and KSM are not supported by CIA records. The president's September 6, 2006 speech, which was based on CIA-provided information and vetted by the CIA, was the first detailed formal public representation about the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The inaccurate representations in the speech have been repeated in numerous articles, books, and broadcasts. The speech was also relied upon by the OLC in its July 20, 2007 memorandum on the legality of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, specifically to support the premise that the use of the techniques was effective in producing substantial quantities of otherwise unavailable intelligence.
D. CIA representations about the effectiveness of its enhanced interrogation techniques against specific CIA detainees. While the CIA made numerous general representations about the effectiveness of its enhanced interrogation techniques, CIA representations on specific detainees focused almost exclusively on two CIA detainees: Abu Zubaydah, detained on March 28, 2002, and KSM, detained on March 1, 2003. 1. Abu Zubaydah. As described in greater detail in the full committee study, the CIA provided significant information to policymakers and the Department of Justice on the CIA's decision to use the newly developed CIA enhanced interrogation techniques on Abu Zubaydah and the effects of doing so. These representations were provided by the CIA to the CIA OIG, the White House, the Department of Justice, Congress, and the American public.
Note, 1184. Among other documents, see CIA classified statement for the record. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, provided by General Michael V. Hayden, Director, Central Intelligence Agency, 12 April 2007. And accompanying Senate Select Committee on Intelligence hearing transcript for April 12, 2007, entitled Hearing on Central Intelligence Agency Detention and Interrogation Program. Director Hayden stated, "Now, in June 2002, after about 4 months of interrogation, Abu Zubaydah reached a point where he refused to cooperate and he shut down. He would not talk at all to the FBI interrogators, and although he was still talking to CIA interrogators, no significant progress was being made in learning anything of intelligence value."
The representations include that, 1, Abu Zubaydah told the CIA he believed the general U.S. population was weak, lacked resilience, and would be unable to do what was necessary. 2, Abu Zubaydah stopped cooperating with U.S. government personnel using traditional interrogation techniques. 3, Abu Zubaydah's interrogation team believed the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques would result in critical information on terrorists, operatives, and plotting. And 4, the use of CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques on Abu Zubaydah was effective in eliciting critical intelligence from Abu Zubaydah. These representations are not supported by internal CIA records. The CIA representation that Abu Zubaydah expressed his belief that the general U.S. population was weak, lacked resilience, and would be unable to do what was necessary to prevent the terrorists from succeeding in their goals is not supported by CIA records. On August 30, 2006, a CIA officer from the CIA's Al-Qaeda Plans and Organization Group wrote, "We have no records that he declared that America was weak and lacking in resilience, and that our society did not have the will to do what was necessary to prevent the terrorists from succeeding in their goals." In a CIA same-time communication that same day, a CIA Alex Station officer wrote, "I can find no reference to AZ being defiant and declaring America weak. In fact, everything I have read indicated he used a non-defiant resistance strategy." In response, the chief of the redacted department in CTC wrote, "I've certainly heard that said of AZ for years, but don't know why." The CIA Alex Station officer replied, "Probably a combo of deputy chief of Alex Station redacted and redacted. I'll leave it at that." The chief of the redacted department completed the exchange, writing, "Yes, believe so, and agree. We shall pass over in silence." The CIA representation that Abu Zubaydah stopped cooperating with debriefers using traditional interrogation techniques is also not supported by CIA records. In early June 2002, Abu Zubaydah's interrogators recommended that Abu Zubaydah spend several weeks in isolation while the interrogation team members traveled, as a means of keeping Abu Zubaydah off balance and to allow the team needed time off for a break and to attend to matters redacted, as well as to discuss the endgame for Abu Zubaydah with officers from CIA headquarters. As a result, Abu Zubaydah spent much of June 2002 and all of July 2002, 47 days in total, in isolation. When CIA officers next interrogated Abu Zubaydah, they immediately used the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, including the waterboard. Prior to this isolation period, Abu Zubaydah provided information on Al-Qaeda activities, plans, capabilities, and relationships, in addition to information on its leadership structure, including personalities, decision-making processes, training, and tactics. Abu Zubaydah provided the same type of information prior to, during, and after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Abu Zubaydah's inability to provide information on the next attack in the United States and operatives in the United States provided the basis for CIA representations that Abu Zubaydah was uncooperative, as well as for the CIA's determination that Abu Zubaydah required the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques to become compliant and reveal the information that CIA headquarters believed he was withholding. The CIA further stated that Abu Zubaydah could stop the application of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, like the waterboard, by providing the names of operatives in the United States or information to stop the next attack. At no point during or after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques did Abu Zubaydah provide this type of information. The CIA's representation that Abu Zubaydah's interrogation team believed the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques would result in new information on operatives in the United States and terrorist plotting is also incongruent with CIA records. While Abu Zubaydah was in isolation in July 2002, CIA headquarters informed the Department of Justice and White House officials that Abu Zubaydah's interrogation team believed Abu Zubaydah possessed information on terrorist threats to and al-Qaeda operatives in the United States.
Note 1200. The CIA further represented, 1, that the enhanced interrogation phase of Abu Zubaydah's interrogation would likely last no more than several days, but could last up to 30 days. 2, that the use of the enhanced interrogation techniques would be on an as-needed basis, and that not all of these techniques will necessarily be used. 3, that the CIA expected these techniques will be used in some sort of escalating fashion, culminating with the waterboard, though not necessarily ending with this technique. 4, that although some of these techniques may be used more than once, that repetition will not be substantial because the techniques generally lose their effectiveness after several repetitions. And 5, that steps will be taken to ensure that Abu Zubaydah's injury is not in any way exacerbated by the use of these methods. See the Abu Zubaydah Detainee Review for detailed information for how these statements proved almost entirely inaccurate.
The CIA officials further represented that the interrogation team had concluded that the use of more aggressive methods is required to persuade Abu Zubaydah to provide the critical information needed to safeguard the lives of innumerable innocent men, women, and children within the United States and abroad, and warned, "Countless more Americans may die unless we can persuade AZ to tell us what he knows." However, according to CIA cables, the interrogation team at the detention site had not determined that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques were required for Abu Zubaydah to provide such threat information. Rather, the interrogation team wrote, "Our assumption is the objective of this operation is to achieve a high degree of confidence that Abu Zubaydah is not holding back actionable information concerning threats to the United States beyond that which Abu Zubaydah has already provided." The CIA representation that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques on Abu Zubaydah was effective in producing critical threat information on terrorists and terrorists plotting against the United States is also not supported by CIA records. Abu Zubaydah did not provide the information for which the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques were justified and approved: information on the next attack and operatives in the United States.
Note 1203. Participants in the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah also wrote that Abu Zubaydah probably reached the point of cooperation even prior to the August institution of enhanced measures, a development missed because of the narrow focus of the questioning. In any event, there was no evidence that the waterboard produced time-perishable information which otherwise would have been unobtainable.
According to CIA records, Abu Zubaydah provided information on al-Qaeda activities, plans, capabilities, and relationships, in addition to information on its leadership structure, including personalities, decision-making processes, training, and tactics. This type of information was provided by Abu Zubaydah prior to, during, and after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. At no point during or after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques did Abu Zubaydah provide information on al-Qaeda cells in the United States or operational plans for terrorist attacks against the United States. Further, a quantitative review of Abu Zubaydah's intelligence reporting indicates that more intelligence reports were disseminated from Abu Zubaydah's first 2 months of interrogation before the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques and when FBI special agents were directly participating than were derived during the next two-month phase of interrogations, which included the nonstop use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques 24 hours a day for 17 days.
Note, 1207. Abu Zubaydah was taken into CIA custody on March, redacted 2002, and was shortly thereafter hospitalized until April 15, 2002. Abu Zubaydah returned to detention site Green on April 15, 2002. During the months of April and May 2002, which included a period during which Abu Zubaydah was on life support and unable to speak, Abu Zubaydah communicated primarily with FBI special agents in writing. Abu Zubaydah's interrogations resulted in 95 intelligence reports. In February 2008, the CIA identified the key intelligence and reporting derived from Abu Zubaydah. The three items identified by the CIA were all acquired in April and May of 2002 by FBI interrogators. Abu Zubaydah was placed in isolation from June 18, 2002 to August 4, 2002, without being asked any questions. After 47 days in isolation, the CIA reinstituted contact with Abu Zubaydah at approximately 11:50 a.m. on August 4, 2002, when CIA personnel entered the cell, shackled and hooded Abu Zubaydah, and removed his towel, leaving Abu Zubaydah naked. Without asking any questions, CIA personnel made a collar around his neck with a towel and used the collar to slam him against a concrete wall. Multiple enhanced interrogation techniques were used nonstop until 6:30 p.m. when Abu Zubaydah was strapped to the waterboard and subjected to the waterboard technique numerous times between 6:45 p.m. and 8:52 p.m. The aggressive phase of interrogation using the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques continued for 20 days. During the months of August and September 2002, Abu Zubaydah's reporting resulted in 91 intelligence reports, four fewer than the first 2 months of his CIA detention. Specifically, for information on Abu Zubaydah's initial walling, see CIA email dated March 28, 2007 at 4:42 p.m. with the subject line, Subject Detainee Allegation per our telcon of today, which states that Abu Zubaydah claims a collar was used to slam him against a concrete wall. The CIA officer wrote, "While we do not have a record that this occurred, one interrogator at the site at the time confirmed that this did indeed happen. For the record, a plywood wall was immediately constructed at the site after the walling on the concrete wall."
Nonetheless, on August 30, 2002, the CIA informed the National Security Council that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques were effective and producing meaningful results. Shortly thereafter, however, in October 2002, CIA records indicate that President Bush was informed in a Presidential Daily Brief, PDB, that Abu Zubaydah resisted providing useful information until becoming more cooperative in early August, probably in the hope of improving his living conditions. The PDB made no reference to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Subsequently, the CIA represented to other senior policymakers and the Department of Justice that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques were successfully used to elicit critical information from Abu Zubaydah. For example, in a March 2, 2005 CIA memorandum to the Department of Justice, the CIA represented that information obtained from Abu Zubaydah on the Dirty Bomb Plot and Jose Padilla was acquired only after applying enhanced interrogation techniques. This CIA representation was repeated in numerous CIA communications with policymakers and the Department of Justice. The information provided by the CIA was inaccurate. On the evening of April 20, 2002, prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, Abu Zubaydah provided this information to FBI officers who were using rapport-building interrogation techniques.
Note, 1213. Despite requests by the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, the CIA has never corrected the record on this assertion. On September 8, 2008, the committee submitted questions for the record, QFRs, to the CIA from a hearing on the legal opinions issued by the Department of Justice's Office of Legal Counsel on the CIA's detention and interrogation program. Because of time constraints, the CIA agreed to take back several questions from members that the CIA was unable to answer at the hearing. On the topic of the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, the committee asked, why was this information related to Padilla, which was not obtained through the use of EITs, included in the effectiveness memo? CIA records provided for this review contain completed responses to these questions for the record. The CIA's answer to this question was, redacted CTC legal redacted simply inadvertently reported this wrong. Abu Zubaydah provided information on Jose Padilla while being interrogated by the FBI. The committee never received this response despite numerous requests. Instead, the CIA responded with a letter dated October 17, 2008, stating that the CIA has responded to numerous written requests for information from SSCI on this topic, the CIA's detention and interrogation program, and that we are available to provide additional briefings on this issue to members as necessary. In a letter to CIA Director Michael Hayden, Chairman Rockefeller wrote, "The CIA's refusal to respond to hearing questions for the record is unprecedented and is simply unacceptable." Senator Feinstein wrote a separate letter to CIA Director Michael Hayden stating, "I want you to know that I found the October 17, 2008 reply appalling." The CIA did not respond. In February 2004, a senior CIA officer wrote, "AZ never really gave this is the plot type of information. He claimed every plot slash operation he had knowledge of and or was working on was only preliminary. Padilla and the dirty bomb plot was prior to enhanced, and he never really gave actionable to get them."
2. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM. As described in more detail in the full committee study, the CIA provided significant inaccurate information to policymakers on the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques in the interrogation of KSM. These representations were provided by the CIA to the OIG, the White House, the Department of Justice, the Congress, and the American public. The representations include that 1. KSM provided little threat information or actionable intelligence prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. 2. The CIA overcame KSM's resistance through the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. 3. The CIA's waterboard interrogation technique was particularly effective in eliciting information from KSM. 4. KSM recanted little of the information he had provided, and KSM's information was generally accurate and consistent. 5. KSM made a statement to CIA personnel, "Soon you will know," indicating an attack was imminent upon its arrest. And 6. KSM believed the general U.S. population was weak, lacked resilience, and would be unable to do what was necessary. These representations are not supported by internal CIA records. While the CIA represented to multiple parties that KSM provided little threat information or actionable intelligence prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, CIA records indicate that KSM was subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques within a few minutes of first being questioned by CIA interrogators. This material fact was omitted from CIA representations. The CIA represented that the CIA overcame KSM's resistance to interrogation by using the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. CIA records do not support this statement. To the contrary, There are multiple CIA records describing the ineffectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques in gaining KSM's cooperation. On March 26, 2003, the day after the CIA last used its enhanced interrogation techniques on KSM, KSM was described as likely lying and engaged in an effort to renew a possible resistance stance. On April 2, 2003, the Interagency Intelligence Committee on Terrorism, IICT, produced an assessment of KSM's intelligence entitled Precious Truths Surrounded by a Bodyguard of Lies. The assessment concluded that KSM was withholding information or lying about terrorist plots and operatives targeting the United States. During and after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, the CIA repeatedly expressed concern that KSM was lying and withholding information in the context of CBRN, chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear programs, plotting against U.S. interests in Karachi, Pakistan, plotting against Heathrow Airport, Abu Isa al-Britani, as well as the second wave plotting against the tallest building in California, which prompted the CIA's Alex station to note in a cable dated April 22, 2003, that it remained concerned that KSM's progression towards full debriefing status is not yet apparent where it counts most in relation to threats to U.S. interests, especially inside CONUS. The CIA repeatedly represented that the CIA's waterboard interrogation technique was particularly effective in eliciting information from KSM. This representation is not supported by CIA records. Numerous CIA personnel, including members of KSM's interrogation team, expressed their belief that the waterboard interrogation technique was ineffective on KSM. The on-site medical officer told the inspector general that after 3 or 4 days, it became apparent that the waterboard was ineffective and that KSM hated it but knew he could manage. KSM debriefer and deputy chief of Alex Station, Redacted, told the inspector general that KSM figured out a way to deal with the waterboard, and she relayed in a 2005 same-time communication that we broke KSM using the Majid Khan stuff and the emails. In other words, by confronting KSM with information from other sources. Redacted, CTC Legal, told the inspector general that the waterboard was of limited use on KSM. A KSM interrogator told the inspector general that KSM had beat the system and assessed that KSM responded to creature comforts and sense of importance, not to confrontational approaches. The interrogator later wrote in a same-time communication that KSM and Abu Zubaydah held back despite the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, adding, I'm ostracized whenever I suggest those two did not tell us everything. How dare I think KSM was holding back? In April 2003, OMS told the inspector general that the waterboard had not been very effective on KSM. He also questioned how the repeated use of the waterboard was categorically different from beating the bottom of my feet or from torture in general. The CIA repeatedly represented that KSM had recanted little of the information he had provided and that KSM's information was generally accurate and consistent. This assertion is not supported by CIA records. Throughout the period during which KSM was subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, KSM provided inaccurate information, much of which he would later acknowledge was fabricated and recant. Specifically, KSM's fabrications and recantations covered his activities immediately before his capture, the identity of an individual whom he described as the protector of his children, plotting against a U.S. aircraft carrier, a meeting with Abu Faraj al-Libi, and the location of Hassan Gul. KSM fabricated significant information, which he would later recant, related to Jafar al-Tayyar, stating that al-Tayyar and Jose Padilla were plotting together, linking al-Tayyar to Heathrow Airport plotting and to Majid Khan's plotting, and producing what CIA officials described as an elaborate tale linking al-Tayyar to an assassination plot against former President Jimmy Carter. KSM later explained that he had been forced to lie about al-Tayyar due to the pressure from CIA interrogators. KSM recanted other information about the Heathrow Airport plotting, including information regarding the targeting, additional operatives, and the tasking of prospective pilots to study at flight schools. KSM provided significant information on Abu Issa al-Britani, Dhiren Bharat, that he would later recant, including linking Abu Issa al-Britani to Jafar al-Tayyar and to the Heathrow Airport plot. Under direct threat of additional waterboarding, KSM told CIA interrogators that he had sent Abu Issa al-Britani to Montana to recruit African-American Muslim converts. In June 2003, KSM stated he fabricated the story because he was under enhanced measures when he made these claims and simply told his interrogators what he thought they wanted to hear. KSM also stated that he tasked Majid Khan with recruiting Muslims in the United States, which he would later recant. On May 3, 2003, CIA officers recommended revisiting the information KSM had provided during earlier stages of his interrogation process, noting that he has told us that he said some things during this phrase to get the enhanced measures to stop. Therefore, some of this information may be suspect. The CIA also repeatedly referred to a comment made by KSM while he was still in Pakistani custody as indicating that KSM had information on an imminent attack. In reports to the Inspector General, the National Security Advisor, and the Department of Justice, among others, the CIA represented that when asked about future attacks planned against the United States, he coldly replied, "Soon you will know." In fact, soon we did know, after we initiated enhanced measures. Contrary to CIA representations, CIA records indicate that KSM's comment was interpreted by CIA officers with KSM at the time as meaning that KSM was seeking to use his future cooperation as a bargaining chip with more CIA officers. Finally, the CIA attributed to KSM, along with Abu Zubaydah, the statement that the general U.S. population was weak, lacked resilience, and would be unable to do what was necessary to prevent the terrorists from succeeding in their goals. There are no CIA operational or interrogation records to support the representation that KSM or Abu Zubaydah made these statements.
E. CIA effectiveness claims regarding a high volume of critical intelligence. The CIA represented that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques resulted in the collection of a high volume of critical intelligence on al-Qaeda. The committee evaluated the high volume of intelligence collected by compiling the total number of sole-source and multi-source disseminated intelligence reports from the 119 known CIA detainees.
Note, 1268. While CIA multi-source intelligence reports are included in the committee study, the quantitative analysis in this summary is based on sole-source intelligence reporting, as these reports best reflect reporting from CIA detainees. Multi-source intelligence reports are reports that contain data from multiple detainees. As described above, a common multi-source report would result from the CIA showing a picture of an individual to all CIA detainees at a specific CIA detention site. A report would be produced regardless if detainees were or were not able to identify or provide information on the individual. As a specific example, see Headquarters, which states that from January 1, 2006 to April 30, 2006, information from Hambali was
used in the dissemination of three intelligence reports, two of which were non-recognitions of Guantanamo Bay detainees, while the third detailed Hambali's statement that he knew of no threats or plots to attack any world sporting events. Sole source reports, by contrast, are based on specific information provided by one CIA detainee.
The CIA informed the committee that its interrogation program was successful in developing intelligence and suggested that all CIA detainees produced disseminated intelligence reporting. For example, in September 2006, CIA Director Michael Hayden provided the following testimony to the committee. Senator Bayh, I was impressed by your statement about how effective the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques have been in eliciting important information to the country. At one point, up to 50% of our information about Al-Qaeda, I think you said 9,000 different intelligence reports. Director Hayden, over 8,000, sir. Senator Bayh, and yet this has come from, I guess, only 30 individuals. Director Hayden, no, sir, 96, all 96. In April 2007, CIA Director Hayden testified that the CIA's interrogation program existed for one purpose, intelligence, and that it is the most successful program being conducted by American intelligence today for preventing attacks, disabling Al-Qaeda. At this hearing, Director Hayden again suggested that the CIA interrogation program was successful in obtaining intelligence from all CIA detainees. A transcript of that hearing, including the following exchange. Senator Snow, General Hayden, of the 8,000 intelligence reports that were provided, as you said, by 30 of the detainees. Director Hayden, by all 97, ma'am. The suggestion that all CIA detainees provided information that resulted in intelligence reporting is not supported by CIA records. CIA records reveal that 34% of the 119 known CIA detainees produced no intelligence reports, and nearly 70% produced fewer than 15 intelligence reports. Of the 39 detainees who were, according to CIA records, subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, nearly 20% produced no intelligence reports, while 40% produced fewer than 15 intelligence reports. While the CIA's detention and interrogation program did produce significant amounts of disseminated intelligence reporting, 5,874 sole source intelligence reports, this reporting was overwhelmingly derived from a small subset of CIA detainees. For example, of the 119 CIA detainees identified in the study, 89% of all disseminated intelligence reporting was derived from 25 CIA detainees. Five CIA detainees produced more than 40% of all intelligence reporting from the CIA's detention and interrogation program. CIA records indicate that two of the five detainees were not subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. F. The eight primary CIA effectiveness representations, the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, enabled the CIA to disrupt terrorist plots and capture additional terrorists. From 2003 through 2009, the CIA consistently and repeatedly represented that its enhanced interrogation techniques were effective and necessary to produce critical intelligence that enabled the CIA to disrupt terrorist plots, capture additional terrorists, and collect a high volume of critical intelligence on Al-Qaeda. The CIA further stated that the information acquired as a result of the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques could not have been acquired by the US government in any other way, otherwise unavailable.
Note, 1275. See list of 20 CIA representations included in this summary. From 2003 to 2009, the CIA's representations regarding the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques
included a specific set of examples of terrorist plots disrupted and terrorists captured that the CIA attributed to information obtained from the use of its enhanced interrogation techniques. CIA representations further asserted that the intelligence obtained from the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was unique, otherwise unavailable, and resulted in saved lives. Among other CIA representations, see 1. CIA representations in the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel Memorandum, dated May 30, 2005, which relied on a series of highly specific CIA representations on the type of intelligence acquired from the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques to assess their legality. The CIA representations referenced by the OLC include that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was necessary to obtain critical, vital, and otherwise unavailable actionable intelligence that was essential for the U.S. government to detect and disrupt terrorist threats. The OLC memorandum further states that the CIA has informed the OLC that the CIA believes that this program is largely responsible for preventing a subsequent attack within the United States. 2. CIA representations in the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel memorandum dated July 20, 2007, which also relied on CIA representations on the type of intelligence acquired from the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Citing CIA documents and the President's September 6, 2006 speech describing the CIA's interrogation program, which was based on CIA-provided information, the OLC memorandum states, "The CIA interrogation program, and in particular its use of enhanced interrogation techniques, is intended to serve this paramount interest, security of the nation, by providing substantial quantities of otherwise unavailable intelligence, as the President explained on September 6, 2006, by giving us information about terrorist plans we could not get anywhere else, the program has saved innocent lives." 3. CIA briefings from members of the National Security Council in July and September 2003 represented that the use of enhanced techniques of one kind or another had produced significant intelligence information that had, in the view of CIA professionals, saved lives, and warned policymakers that termination of this program will result in loss of life, possibly extensive. 4. The CIA's response to the Office of Inspector General draft special review of the CIA program, which asserts information the CIA received as a result of the lawful use of enhanced interrogation techniques, EITs, has almost certainly saved countless American lives inside the United States and abroad. The evidence points clearly to the fact that without the use of such techniques, we and our allies would have suffered major terrorist attacks involving hundreds, if not thousands, of casualties. 5. CIA briefing documents for CIA Director Leon Panetta in February 2009, which state that the CIA assesses that the RDI program worked and the enhanced interrogation techniques were effective in producing foreign intelligence, and that most, if not all, of the timely intelligence acquired from detainees in this program would not have been discovered or reported by other means. 6. CIA document faxed to the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence on March 18, 2009, entitled Swigert and Dunbar, located in committee databases at DTS number 2009-1258, which provides a list of some of the key captures and disrupted plots that the CIA had attributed to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, and stating, "CIA assesses that most, if not all, of the timely intelligence acquired from detainees in this program would not have been discovered or reported by any other means." See Volume 2 for additional CIA representations asserting that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques enabled the CIA to obtain unique, otherwise unavailable intelligence that saved lives.
The CIA also represented that the best measure of effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was examples of specific terrorist plots thwarted and specific terrorists captured as a result of the use of the CIA's techniques. For example, in a December 2004 CIA memorandum prepared for the National Security Advisor, the CIA wrote that there was no way to conduct an independent study of the foreign intelligence efficacy of using enhanced interrogation techniques, but stated the Central Intelligence Agency can advise you that this program works and the techniques are effective in producing foreign intelligence. To illustrate the effectiveness of the CIA's interrogation techniques, the CIA provided 11 examples of key intelligence collected from HVD interrogations after applying interrogation techniques, 9 of which referenced specific terrorist plots or the capture of specific terrorists. Similarly, under the heading Plots Discovered as a Result of EITs, a CIA briefing prepared for President Bush in November 2007 states, reporting statistics alone will not provide a fair and accurate measure of the effectiveness of EITs. Instead, the CIA provided 8 examples of key intelligence collected from CIA detainee interrogations after applying the waterboard along with other interrogation techniques, 7 of which referenced specific terrorists' plots or the capture of specific terrorists. The committee selected 20 CIA documents that include CIA representations about the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques from 2003 through 2009. The 20 CIA documents, which were consistent with a broader set of CIA representations made during this period, include materials the CIA prepared for the White House, the Department of Justice, the Congress, the CIA Office of Inspector General, as well as incoming members of President Obama's national security team, and the public. The committee selected the following 20 CIA documents. 1. July and September 2003 CIA briefing documents seeking policy reaffirmation of the CIA interrogation program from White House officials, review of interrogation program. 2. February 2004, the CIA's response to the Draft Inspector General Special Review, CIA Comments to Draft IG Special Review, Counterterrorism Detention and Interrogation Program, and Attachment, Successes of CIA's Counterterrorism Detention and Interrogation Activities. 3. July 2004, CIA Intelligence Assessment, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Preeminent Source on Al-Qaeda. 4. December 2004, CIA Memorandum for the President's National Security Advisor, Effectiveness of the CIA Counter-Terrorist Interrogation Techniques. 5. March 2005, CIA Memorandum for the Office of Legal Counsel, Effectiveness of the CIA Counter-Terrorist Interrogation Techniques. 6. March 2005, CIA Briefing for Vice President Cheney, CIA Detention and Interrogation Program. 7. March 2005, CIA Talking Points for the National Security Council, Effectiveness of the High-Value Detainee Interrogation HVDI Techniques. 8. April 2005, CIA Briefing Notes on the Value of Detainee Reporting, providing to the Department of Justice for the OLC's assessment of the legality of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. 9. 2005, CIA materials of KSM and Abu Zubaydah and additional CIA documents provided to the Department of Justice for the OLC's assessment of the legality of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. 10. June 2005, CIA intelligence assessment, detainee reporting pivotal for the war against Al-Qaeda. 11. December 2005, CIA document entitled Future of CIA's Counterterrorist Detention and Interrogation Program, with the attachment Impact of the Loss of the Detainee Program to CT Operations and Analysis, from CIA Director Porter Goss to Stephen Hadley, Assistant to the President/National Security Advisor Francis Townsend, Assistant to the President/Homeland Security Advisor, and Ambassador John Negroponte, the Director of National Intelligence. 12. May 2006, CIA briefing for the President's Chief of Staff, CIA rendition, detention, and interrogation programs on the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. 13. July 2006, CIA memorandum for the Director of National Intelligence, detainee intelligence value update. 14. September 2006, CIA documents supporting the president's September 6, 2006 speech, including representations on the effectiveness of the CIA's interrogation program, including DRAFT, potential public briefing of CIA's high-value terrorist interrogation program, CIA validation of remarks on detainee policy, and summary of the high-value terrorist detainee program. 15. April 2007, CIA Director Michael Hayden's testimony to the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence describing the effectiveness of the CIA's interrogation program. 16. October 2007, CIA talking points for the Senate Appropriations Committee addressing the effectiveness of the CIA's detention and interrogation program entitled Talking Points Appeal of the Redacted $1 million Reduction in CIA/CTC's Rendition and Detention Program. 17. November 2007, CIA Director Talking Points for the President entitled Waterboard 06 November 2007 on the effectiveness of the CIA's waterboard interrogation technique. 18. January 2009, CIA Briefing for President-elect Obama's National Security Transition Team on the value of the CIA's Renditions, Detentions, and Interrogations, RDI. 19. February 2009, CIA briefing for CIA Director Leon Panetta on the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, including DCIA briefing on the RDI program, 18th of February 2009. Key intelligence and reporting derived from Abu Zubaydah and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM, EITs and effectiveness. Key intelligence impacts chart, attachment, AZ and KSM. Background on key intelligence impacts chart, attachment, and background on key captures and plots disrupted, among other CIA documents. 20. March 2009, CIA memorandum for the chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, including representations on the key captures and disrupted plots gained from HVDs in the RDI program. From the 20 CIA documents, the committee identified the CIA's 8 most frequently cited examples of thwarted plots and captured terrorists that the CIA attributed to information acquired from the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The committee sought to confirm that the CIA's representations about the most frequently cited examples of thwarted plots and captured terrorists were consistent with the more than 6 million pages of CIA detention and interrogation records provided to the committee. Specifically, the committee assessed whether the CIA's representations that its enhanced interrogation techniques produced unique, otherwise unavailable intelligence that led to the capture of specific terrorists and the thwarting of specific plots were accurate.
Note 1299. The CIA has represented that it has provided the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence with all CIA records related to the CIA's detention and interrogation program. This document production phase lasted more than 3 years and was completed in July 2012. The records produced include more than 6 million pages of material, including records detailing the interrogation of detainees, as well as the disseminated intelligence derived from the interrogation of CIA detainees. The CIA did not provide, nor was it requested to provide, intelligence records that were unrelated to the CIA detention and interrogation program. In other words, this study was completed without direct access to reporting from CIA HUMINT assets, foreign liaison assets, electronic intercepts, military detainee debriefings, law enforcement-derived information, and other methods of intelligence collection. Insomuch as this material is included in the analysis herein, it was provided by the CIA within the context of documents directly related to the CIA detention and interrogation program. For example, a requirements cable from CIA headquarters to CIA interrogators at a CIA detention site could cite signals intelligence collected by NSA or include a CIA HUMINT source report on a particular subject with a request to question the CIA detainee about the reporting. While direct access to the NSA report or the CIA HUMINT report may not have been provided, it may still be included in this study because it appeared in the CIA headquarters requirements cable relating to the questioning of a CIA detainee. As such, there is likely significant intelligence related to the terrorist plots, terrorists captured, and other intelligence matters examined in this report that is unrelated to the CIA's detention and interrogation program
and within the databases of the U.S. intelligence community, but which has not been identified or reviewed by the Select Committee on Intelligence for this study. As is detailed in the near 6,800-page committee study, the committee found that there was significant intelligence in CIA databases to enable the capture of the terrorists cited and disrupt the terrorist plots represented as thwarted without intelligence from the CIA interrogation program. Had the committee been provided with access to all intelligence available in CIA and intelligence community databases, it is likely this finding would be strengthened further. Finally, as of March 2014, the White House had not yet provided approximately 9,400 documents related to the CIA's detention and interrogation program, equivalent to less than 0.2% of CIA detention and interrogation records, pending an executive privilege determination. The committee requested access to these documents in three letters dated January 3, 2013, May 22, 2013, and December 19, 2013. The White House did not respond to the requests.
The committee found the CIA's representations to be inaccurate and unsupported by CIA records. Following are the summaries of the CIA's eight most frequently cited examples of thwarted plots and captured terrorists, as well as a description of the CIA's claims and an explanation for why the CIA representations were inaccurate and unsupported by CIA records. 1. The thwarting of the dirty bomb / tall buildings plot and the capture of Jose Padilla, referenced in 17 out of 20 CIA documents. 2. The thwarting of the Karachi plots, referenced in 17 of the 20 CIA documents. 3. The thwarting of the second wave plot and the discovery of the Algaraba group, referenced in 18 of the 20 CIA documents. 4. The thwarting of the United Kingdom urban targets plot and the capture of Diren Barot, aka Issa al-Hindi, referenced in 17 of the 20 CIA documents. 5. The identification, capture, and arrest of Ayman Faris, referenced in 7 of the 20 CIA documents. 6. The identification, capture, and arrest of Sajid Badat, referenced in 17 of the 20 CIA documents. 7. The thwarting of the Heathrow Airport and Canary Wharf plotting, referenced in 20 of the 20 CIA documents. 8. The capture of Hambali, referenced in 18 of the 20 CIA documents. 1. The thwarting of the dirty bomb tall buildings plot and the capture of Jose Padilla. Summary. The CIA represented that its enhanced interrogation techniques were effective and necessary to produce critical, otherwise unavailable intelligence, which enabled the CIA to disrupt terrorist plots, capture terrorists, and save lives. Over a period of years, the CIA provided the thwarting of terrorist plotting associating with and the capture of Jose Padilla as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. These CIA representations were inaccurate. The CIA first received reporting on the terrorist threat posed by Jose Padilla from a foreign government. 8 days later, Abu Zubaydah provided information on the terrorist plotting of two individuals whom he did not identify by true name to FBI special agents. Abu Zubaydah provided this information in April 2002, prior to the commencement of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques in August 2002. The plots associated with Jose Padilla were assessed by intelligence community to be infeasible. Further details. The dirty bomb / tall buildings plotting refers to terrorist plotting involving U.S. citizen Jose Padilla. Padilla and his associate, Binyam Mohammed, conceived the dirty bomb plot after locating information derived from what the CIA described as a satirical internet article entitled "How to Make an H-Bomb" on a computer at a Pakistani safe house in early 2002. The article instructed would-be bomb makers to enrich uranium by placing it in a bucket, attaching it to a 6-foot rope, and swinging it around your head as fast as possible for 45 minutes. Padilla and Mohammed approached Abu Zubaydah in early 2002 and later KSM with their idea to build and use this device in the United States. Neither Abu Zubaydah nor KSM believed the plan was viable, but KSM provided funding for and tasked Padilla to conduct an operation using natural gas to create explosions in tall buildings in the United States, later known as the Tall Buildings Plot. The capture of and the thwarting of terrorist plotting associated with Jose Padilla is one of the 8 most frequently cited examples provided by the CIA as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Over a period of years, CIA documents prepared for and provided to senior policymakers, intelligence officials, and the Department of Justice represent the identification and/or the capture of Jose Padilla and/or the disruption of the dirty bomb and/or the tall building spotting as examples of how key intelligence collected from HVD interrogations after applying interrogation techniques had enabled CIA to disrupt terrorist plots and capture additional terrorists. The CIA further represented that the intelligence acquired from the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was otherwise unavailable and saved lives.
Note, 1308. From 2003 through 2009, the CIA's representations regarding the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques provided a specific set of examples of terrorist plots disrupted and terrorists captured that the CIA attributed to information obtained from the use of its enhanced interrogation techniques. CIA representations further asserted that the intelligence obtained from the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was unique, otherwise unavailable, and resulted in saved lives. Among other CIA representations, see 1. CIA representations in the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel Memorandum, dated May 30, 2005, which relied on a series of highly specific CIA representations on the type of intelligence acquired from the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques to assess their legality. The CIA representations referenced by the OLC include that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was necessary to obtain critical, vital, and otherwise unavailable actionable intelligence that was essential for the U.S. government to detect and disrupt terrorist threats. The OLC memorandum further states that the CIA has informed the OLC that the CIA believes that this program is largely responsible for preventing a subsequent attack within the United States.
For example, a document prepared for Vice President Cheney in advance of a March 8, 2005 National Security Council principals meeting states, under a section entitled Interrogation Results, that use of DOJ-authorized enhanced interrogation techniques as part of a comprehensive interrogation approach has enabled us to disrupt terrorist plots. Dirty bomb plot operatives Jose Padilla and Binyam Mohammed planned to build and detonate a dirty bomb in the Washington, D.C. area. Plot disrupted. Source, Abu Zubaydah. Likewise, the July 20, 2007 Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel, OLC, memorandum on the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques used CIA-provided information on Jose Padilla to describe the